Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. New Testament Christianity has always and necessarily been deeply involved with preaching. The work of John the Baptist in preaching the way of the Lord was accomplished to a great extent by the preaching of Jesus. All four accounts of the Gospel tell of John's preaching. Matthew says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 3, 1 and 2. Preaching comes from the Greek kerusson, and means to proclaim, to publish. In the King James Version, the verb is almost always translated preach. The message John preached was very simple and very powerful. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark's account of John's work is very similar. The beginning of the gospel of Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Mark 1, 1 through 4. In preparing men's minds to accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke gives a list of rulers who were in power when John the Baptist began his ministry. He then added, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Luke 3, 3. The Apostle John called John the Baptist a man sent from God. John the Baptist came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights the way of every man that comes into the world. John 1, 6 through 9. It is interesting to note that John the Apostle never uses the words preacher or preaching in reference to John the Baptist. Instead, he calls him a witness and designates his work as bearing witness. The gospel records also discuss at length the preaching of Jesus Christ. As you can see from the following passages, the work of Jesus, at least initially, was very similar to that of John the Baptist. After our Lord resisted the devil's temptations, and after he had learned of John's imprisonment, he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew 4, 17. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Mark 4, 23. In Luke's account of the gospel, Jesus Christ outlined his mission in these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4, 18 and 19. The expression, "to preach the gospel to the poor," is not the same verb which is translated "preach" in the phrases, "to preach deliverance to the captives," and "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The verb rendered "preach the gospel to the poor" is a word which means to evangelize. The other Greek verbs mean to proclaim, to publish. I plan to say more about both of these words in a few minutes when we examine preaching in the book of Acts. The Apostle John never called Jesus a preacher, nor does he use the word preaching in reference to the work Jesus did in leading men out of sin to salvation. John called Jesus a teacher, didaskalos, a number of times. For example, when Jesus finally came to the home of Mary and Martha after their beloved brother had died, Martha said to her sister Mary, "The Master is come and calls for you." John 11:28. The English word for master comes from the Greek word for teacher. 10 times in the book of John, the word teach, didasko, is used to explain the work of Jesus Christ. On one occasion, our Lord gave a powerful discourse on His being the bread of life. Then John the apostle said of Him, "These things said He in the synagogue, as He taught in Capernaum." John 6:59. The Gospel of John often employs the verb testify or bear witness, martyreo, of Christ leading men to obey God's will. For example, when Jesus appeared before Pilate, the Roman governor asked Him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus responded, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." John 18:37. But not only did Jesus Christ engage in preaching and teaching, He intended that His message of salvation would be spread throughout the world by preaching and teaching. The Great Commission, as recorded by Matthew, by Mark, and by Luke, makes this truth too plain for anyone to doubt. According to Matthew, Jesus commanded His apostles, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:19-20. Mark's account of the Great Commission is substantially the same as Matthew's. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. Luke wrote, "Christ said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Luke 24:46-48. The following passage does not use the word preach, but it does outline the work of preaching and teaching which the apostles and other preachers were to accomplish. Jesus said to His apostles, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 1:8. This verse gives a thumbnail sketch of the plan Jesus had in mind for evangelizing the world. The book of Acts shows how the plan was carried out by faithful gospel preachers. For the remainder of our time today, I want to study with you the words in Acts which relate to preachers and preaching. We shall continue this study the next time we're together. I will mention in each case what the Greek word is, but my use of the Greek should not be allowed to detract from your understanding of our study. I mention these Greek words for the many preachers who regularly listen to our broadcast. Let me speak first of the Greek words which are used of preachers, and then we shall take a brief look at the words which refer to preaching. Modern theologians, whether liberal or conservative, often arrogate to themselves titles which have no basis in biblical teaching. For example, some preachers or theologians like to call themselves reverend or the most right reverend. Do these titles seem a bit pompous to you? Pastor is probably the title most preachers use, but in the Bible it is used of elders of the Lord's church and not of preachers. Incidentally, the word minister is never used in the Bible of preachers because they are preachers. The word means servant and is applied in some New Testament passages to preachers, because preachers are supposed to be servants. The book of Acts uses only one Greek noun in referring to preachers, euangelistes. The word, transliterated evangelist, appears only one time in Acts and is applied to Philip, Acts 21:8. Actually, the word is used only three times in the entire New Testament. One time in Acts 21:8, one time in the Ephesian letter 4:11, and one time in Paul's second letter to Timothy 4:5. Euangelistes is a very meaningful word. It describes the work of a preacher as one who brings good news or glad tidings of Jesus Christ. It is a form of the word translated gospel. The word preacher, kerux, is never used in Acts, although the verb form, keruso, is used 61 times. The word preacher appears only three times in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2:7, 2 Timothy 1:11, and 2 Peter 2:5. The word kerux means a herald, one charged with delivering the message just as it is given to him. A herald has no right to modify the message or to negotiate with the recipient. He must deliver the message exactly as it is given. Walter E. Vine summarizes the differences among the words apostles, preachers, and evangelists. Kerux indicates the preacher as giving a proclamation. Euangelistes points to his message as glad tidings. Apostolos suggests his relationship to him by whom he is sent. How does one explain why the term evangelist is used so infrequently in Acts, and the word preacher is never used? I have to confess that I do not know. Most of the preaching in Acts was done by the apostles, which may account for the word preachers not being used at all, and the word evangelist being used only one time. It is interesting that the Greeks on Mars Hill in Athens call Paul a setter forth of strange gods, Acts 17:18. The Greek word for setter forth means a herald or a proclaimer. It is found in inscriptions in connection with the proclamations made in public places. But the word is used only this one time in the New Testament. The verb form is used several times. The book of Acts uses around 30 words to describe the work of preachers. These words are very significant because they allow us to know what the Holy Spirit had in mind when He guided the apostles into using them. Since there is so much confusion in our world relating to the work of preaching, it ought to be of great help to us to study carefully what the book of Acts says about preaching. It is interesting that no New Testament writer ever uses the word share in reference to preaching or teaching. Dr. John MacArthur's latest book, Reckless Faith, When the Church Loses Its Will to Discern, insists that engaging in dialogue is nicer than preaching a sermon. One preacher cringed every time anyone used the word preaching. "I don't preach," he insisted. "I share." Somehow sharing seems more polite than preaching. Page 46. The work of preaching is described in Acts and in other New Testament books as teaching. I'm fairly sure that the words preaching and teaching are not always used as technically as some scholars imagine. Sometimes teaching and preaching are used in the same verse, referring to the same activity. One example. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. Acts 15:35. Acts 5 gives a number of instances where the word teach, didasko in Greek, is used of apostolic activity in the spreading of the gospel. "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Then came one and told them, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.'" The Jewish authorities asked Peter and John, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name?" And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5:21, 25, 28, and 42. The book of Acts uses a number of common, ordinary words in describing first century preaching, such as lego, laleo, and epo, all of which mean simply to speak or to say. They are not used in a technical sense of preaching and teaching. These words would be used of common conversation between two people. Two examples will illustrate what I mean. And they spoke unto the people. Acts 4:1. And they said, Sirs, why do you these things? Acts 14:15. I'm not saying that these words are insignificant. No word in the Bible is insignificant. But they do not furnish us with any special insight into the nature of apostolic preaching or teaching. A very important word describing preaching in Acts is the word martureo. The Greek word appears 79 times in the New Testament, 12 times in the book of Acts alone. A few examples should be helpful. The word is translated of good report, Acts 6:3, and of honest report, Acts 10:22. But, generally speaking, the verb is rendered to give testimony or to bear witness. In Paul's sermon in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, And when God had removed him, that is King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Acts 13:22. The book of Acts also uses the word martus of the apostle. The word means witness, and is the basis of our word martyr. The word appears 13 times in Acts. The apostle Peter used the word one time in his great sermon on the day of Pentecost. This Jesus has God raised up from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. Acts 2:32. Peter was simply saying that he and the other apostles were there. They saw, they heard, they touched. They knew for sure that Jesus had died and had been raised by the power of God. They were witnesses of these marvelous events. As everyone who has read the book of Acts knows assuredly, the apostles and other gospel preachers exhibited great courage when they preached in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and in other parts of the world. The Greek word paresiazomai lets us know that the Holy Spirit thought they were manifesting great courage. The verb is used 7 times in Acts, and always includes the idea of boldness. The first appearance of the word in Acts is in Peter's sermon on Pentecost. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Acts 2:29. The expression speak freely is the Greek word usually translated speak boldly, and that is the meaning of the verb in this verse. After Saul of Tarsus was converted to Christ, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had spoken boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Acts 9:27 and 29. It was this attitude of speaking boldly which distinguished the career of Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. He never hesitated to preach the truth of God's Word, even if it meant his life was in danger. His attitude always was, Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. This great apostle also charged his younger contemporary to preach without fear or favor. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. But speaking boldly does not mean being uncouth, insulting, or rude. The word means to be courageous. The noun form of the word can be translated plainness, openness, and confidence. If gospel preachers really believe what they preach, and if they are truly concerned about lost souls, they are not going to be rude or crude, but they will speak plainly, courageously, and confidently, even if they might be fired for their stand for truth. And thousands of faithful gospel preachers have been fired for their courage. They will watch in all things. They will endure afflictions. They will do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of their ministry. 2 Timothy 4, 5. What greater need does our generation have than for men who will preach the whole counsel of God? Acts 20, 27. One of the most common and striking words used of preaching and teaching is the Greek parakaleo. The word literally means to call to one side. The word is used 108 times in the New Testament, 21 of these in the book of Acts. The noun form of the word parakletos is translated comforter in reference to the Holy Spirit and advocate in speaking of Jesus Christ, 1 John 2, 1. In the book of Acts, the verb is rendered exhort, desire, besought, comforted, and prayed. Prayed in the sense of asking or requesting. Let me give you some examples from the book of Acts. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. Acts 2:40. When Paul and Silas had been released from prison in the city of Philippi, they entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Acts 16:40. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Acts 21:12. The word besought in this verse could be translated warned or begged. As I have already indicated, the noun form of the word is translated comforter and advocate. It is also applied by the apostles to Barnabas. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, worked with the apostles. Acts 4:36. Barnabas must have been the kind of man who encouraged, comforted, and sustained others. We know he was an exceedingly generous man, because he sold his land and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Acts 4:37. Knowing Barnabas as we do, we can understand why he would be called the son of consolation or comfort. A number of words which can be or are translated to announce or to preach are found in the book of Acts. Katangelo is one of these words and is used 10 times in Acts. It is generally translated preach, but the root meaning of the word is to declare, to announce, to report down. Paul told the Athenians he had seen their altar with the inscription to the unknown God on it. He then said, whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Acts 17:23. Sometimes the word is rendered show. That Jesus Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Acts 26:23. The Greek word for preaching we know best is euangelizo. The Greek word is the basis of our word evangelist or evangelize. The word literally means to bring good news or glad tidings. It is used 55 times in the New Testament, 16 of those in Acts. As you would expect, if you have thought about it, it is used more often in Acts than in any other New Testament book. After all, The book of Acts is the evangelistic book of the New Testament. The basis for the gospel is revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the first extensive preaching of that gospel is reported in the book of Acts. I want to read five verses from Acts 8, where the word euangelizo is used in every verse. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Acts 8, 4, 12, 25, 35, and 40. Incidentally, the Greek word euangelizo not only suggests the action involved in preaching, but also the content of the preaching. The truths of the gospel are inherent in the word itself. I sincerely hope our study of the New Testament words for preachers and preaching has been helpful to you in your understanding of the work of preaching the gospel. We plan to continue this study at our next time together. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.